Welcome to the Jeff Thomas Show. Always on time and bringing you the hottest topics today. Now, introducing the show host, Jeff Thomas.
I am your host, Jeff Thomas. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. This is episode 340. Man, 340. 340 episodes. That means I've been talking to people 340 times through this whole thing. Hey, listen, welcome to the show, man. Today's show, gotta talk about LeBron James. He won his respect. I'm like, what? Respect? Los Angeles Lakers need that respect? We're going to talk about that, man, because I can't fathom that. I'm trying to figure out what LeBron's talking about, that the Lakers need respect. But you know what? We'll get into that. Also, we're going to talk about the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott. This is today's show, and I'm going to tell you all what the format's going to be like moving forward, because we're making some changes to our podcast. We're looking to come to you at least 4 days a week, and that will be Monday through Thursday. And so, you know, we're changing our format around to do a lot of different things. And you'll be able to see shows ahead of time. We have some special guests coming up. I have a lot of guests coming up next week. We're going to talk politics. We're going to talk love and relationships. And actually this Thursday, for those people who listen to our show, who've downloaded our podcast, is How to Marry a Black Man and Keep Him. And so that's this Thursday. I was going to do it on Tuesday, but I decided against it because we wanted to get some more preparation time and we want to do some things. So make sure you tune in this Thursday, How to Marry a Black Man. So that's going to be key. So I want everybody to tune in and keep them. And so, you know, we'll talk about that as well. But if you want to follow our show, you can go to our Facebook page, like our Facebook page, or follow our Facebook page, The Jeff Thomas Show. You can also follow me on Instagram, The Jeff Thomas Show. And we're on Twitter at Jeff Thomas Show, not the. The T-H-E is not the on Twitter, so couldn't get that. But coming to you today, man, want to talk about a lot of things. I want to talk about the Shaquille O'Neal situation. If many of you all didn't get a chance to see, Shaquille O'Neal said he just voted for the first time. And I find that just mind-blowing. And this is just my opinion. I just find it mind-blowing. So I'm going to talk about that. I think that's utterly ridiculous. And so, hey, again, you can follow our social media outlets, man, and get with us. So let's get into it. We'll talk about this LeBron James. You know, there's been so much debate about LeBron and his greatness. And I'm going to be really honest with you. I mean, I like LeBron as he's a philanthropist. I mean, he does a lot in the community. He's an excellent basketball player. He is a great basketball player. And right now I have him in my top five. At first I didn't, but now after winning this championship, I put him in my top five. But here's where I'm having some issue with this situation and LeBron James. LeBron James came out and made a comment. I'm going to play some audio from it in just 1 second. But he talked about respect. And I'm trying to figure out, why does LeBron need respect? Because he is probably the most, at this time, the most recognizable athlete on the face of the earth at this particular moment. And so everybody knows LeBron. LeBron, he doesn't need anything. But you know what? Let me play the audio, man, so people can kind of get a gist of it. And I was really shocked when he said this after the Lakers won their championship.
Coach Vogel wants his respect. Our organization wants their respect. Laker Nation wants their respect. And I want my damn respect, too.
So, you know, LeBron doesn't... What does LeBron need? What type of respect does LeBron need? Because the Lakers definitely don't need respect. They're one of the most storied franchises in NBA history. Okay? You're talking about 17 championships, NBA finals. And while I will put an asterisk by this finals, I mean, I don't care what people say. I'm going to put an asterisk by it because it was played in controlled environments. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, they were away from their families. They didn't have an opportunity to go home and they weren't in their regular environments. But I'm like, so they get paid a lot of money to do this. And yeah, I know people have emotions and feelings and things like that, but they get paid a lot of money to perform. That's their job. And so I'm not feeling sorry for LeBron. I mean, I'm just not feeling sorry for him. There's no need for me to feel sorry for LeBron. They won this title in a controlled settings. If you know anything about sports and athletics, coaches love controlled environments. Environments in which they can control. You in the bubble. Let me see. There was no travel. There were no kids running around dealing with you on a daily basis and you had to interact with. You're not dealing with opposing teams, fans. And we know this championship was held was between Miami Heat and the Los Angeles Lakers. So you're talking about 6-hour flights going back and forth, L.A. to Miami, L.A. to Miami. So this really was the easiest championship for organizations to win that had the talent. And let's just keep it real. And I'm not saying LeBron is the very first to do this, this teaming up, this AAU mentality of NBA basketball now. And I'm not knocking it. Okay, I threw a shot in AAU mentality. But just let me say this. If LeBron, he kicked it off with D-Wade and Chris Bosh in Miami over 10 years ago, okay? Then he went back to Cleveland with Kyrie, who was a very formidable point guard, and he teamed up with Kevin Love. They had a big three there. Then he joins the Los Angeles Lakers in his first year. Wasn't so great. Pushed a trade. And so the Pelicans finally bent, and they got Anthony Davis to come over. Now, Anthony Davis isn't a slouch player. He is the best big man in the NBA, period. I put him over Giannis. He's the best big man, the most versatile. This guy can shoot threes. He can come off the dribble. I mean, Anthony Davis can ball. So LeBron has had a lot of help. And I'm not saying Jordan didn't have help. Well, Jordan did have help. He had Scottie Pippen and he had Dennis Rodman. But that's it. Those were his only assistants that he had. Scottie Pippen was there for most of the time. LeBron James has had multiple guys come in. And he's teamed up with to win championships. And Anthony Davis, if you got Anthony Davis and LeBron James on the same team, I think that's pretty much, that's going to catapult you to the next level. You're going to win championship. It's just without question, especially in this controlled environment. So let's go back. What, the NBA was awful, what, about 3 months, 2-3 months before they resumed? And so when they got back and they resumed, I mean, what did you really expect to happen? No injuries. LeBron got a chance to rest. So did Anthony Davis. Because we know, shout out to Anthony Davis. He's from Chi-Town. I'm from Chicago. Love AD. But damn, man. You constantly, when you hit the ground, you're hurt. And I love my Chi-Town people. I always say Chi-Town makes the world takes. But damn, man. Every time you get injured, he was never really injured. You know, and I always take that back to how we used to be when we were younger. We'd go outside and play all day, fall, bust our knees. And, you know, I think that kind of made us tougher a little bit later in life. So a lot of these kids are sheltered. But anyway, LeBron has had that help. He's had that assistance. And so he's been able to be ultra-ly successful. So I say to LeBron James, when you talk about respect, the Los Angeles Lakers don't need respect. Rob Pelinka, I mean, I didn't know Rob, Bob, whatever his name is. Why does he need the respect? He's in the front office. He don't play. He just pushed the buttons. He's living off Kobe. That was Kobe's agent. If anyone should have gotten respect, should have been Magic Johnson. Because Magic is the one that kind of broke this thing. Magic is the one that kind of put it together. Let's just be real. But Magic wasn't even mentioned. Imagine that. The Magic Man who helped broker this deal, who put the seed in LeBron's mind to come to LA. And he didn't get mentioned. Jeannie Buss. She don't need it. She on the team. She just pushing. She pays. She making a check. She making sure the checks are cashed. So how does that affect anything, man? For real. The Laker Nation. Then LeBron says, I need respect. LeBron's career. And I think I could safely say that he's well established as one of the greatest to ever play the game. Like I said, I got him in my top five of great players. And at first I didn't, you know, but he, to win a championship in LA, he's just in a line of long greats who come to LA and win the championship. I mean, Kareem came to the Lakers. He won a chip. Wilt came to the Lakers. He won a chip. Shaq came to the Lakers. He won a chip. So I'm just saying. So LeBron, where does the respect piece that you're talking about, where does that come in at? Why do you need respect? You lead in almost every category on the basketball court. You don't need that respect, brother. You got it. You've built a school. You've done all kind of philanthropic things. You don't need the respect. You earned it. You've gotten that respect if you earned it. See, I'm always from the mindset is respect is earned. It's not given. Let's just be real about that. Respect is earned and it's not just given. But LeBron has earned his respect. This young man came into the, and let me just lay it out for everybody that so people can kind of think about this. LeBron James came into the NBA at 18 years old. Okay. This young man, because he's younger than me, so I'm gonna call him young man. But LeBron James has done so much from a young man without any formal education as we see it today. Took his friends, instead of having them hang together, and Phil Jackson called them a posse, which I thought was mad, disrespectful, and borderline racist. But he called his friends a posse. This man took his friends, told them they had to go to school, get educated, get your marketing degrees, get your business degrees, and then you come back and work for me. And we build something together. Hence Maverick Carter. That garners the most respect any man could actually ask for. This man took his friends, educated them, and now they have they got to be borderline on a $1 billion operation. They have all these NBA players. They have television shows, production companies, all sorts of things. LeBron, you got my respect. You don't need to say because you won this championship. The championship, that's just a part of it. And I'm going to be real with you. The bubble championship is whack. Yeah, it's a championship. You put it, you count it. But it's whack to me. It's whack. I can't really, when I look at the bubble championship, man, I'm like, yeah, okay, it's fine. But the environment was controlled. There were no variables out there that would help deter any player from playing. I mean, and no disrespect, NBA, great job. But, you know, I think we probably could have did without it. And it was very long and drawn out how it was done. But I respect the NBA. I respect their stance and the things that they did for social consciousness, for the African-American community. The NBA gets it right. I was at the All-Star game earlier in the year. They did excellent with that. So big ups to the NBA. Y'all do y'all thing. I'm not mad at that. But I just wasn't really crazy about the bubble. From a competitive standpoint, I didn't really like it because I like things to be challenged. This was like playing ball at the YMCA in the gym or the Boys and Girls Club. Let's just be real about it. Boys and Girls Club in the gym. So, LeBron, you have respect, brother. You're well-loved. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to go out and you don't have to fight for your respect. Now, as a black man, you're going to have to, you know, and I don't know if that's what he was talking about, but he's in a different tax bracket. And he's away from certain things, although he sees it from his view. He's in a different situation than a lot of different people on a daily basis. It's just not the same, you know. But big respect to LeBron James. I respect you, brother. Period, point blank. What you've done in the NBA, that's just part of it. What you've done outside of the NBA, that's huge. That's what counts. And I'm not a LeBron James fan. I can't be. I'm from Chicago. And part of the reason, and the reason why I say that, is because people always like to compare LeBron James to Michael Jordan. And that's not fair to LeBron James. That's not fair to LeBron. The fact that he gets constantly compared to LeBron, I mean, to Michael Jordan. And that's unfair. Michael Jordan, I mean, and then you have other players, too. I mean, let's talk. We're talking about Bill Russell, you know, Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. There are a lot of great players that's touched this floor. Larry Bird's that's touched the floor, the NBA floor. So you jump shoot him and you say, okay, I'm going to put him up there with Michael Jordan. And I only compare Michael Jordan's in championships. Michael Jordan has won 6 NBA championships. There's only been 3 three-peats in NBA history. And Michael Jordan and Chicago Bulls were part of 2 of them. Let that sit in. It's only been 3. It's only been done 3 times. Michael Jordan's part of 2 of them. I think Bill Russell and the Celtics back in the day, they won theirs too. But I'm just saying. So, you know, that's a hard feat for LeBron to try to live up to. You can't, that's a lot of responsibility for a young man to live up to. Yeah, he's went on and won 6. I mean, 4. That's great. Good job. Great job. It's hard enough to win 1 championship. But to win 6 or 4 or 5, or, hey, it's tremendous. And I'm not knocking anybody that's been successful on that level. People call LeBron a loser. He lost 6 championships. Man, please. The fact that he's won 4 is good enough. Although the bubble definitely has an asterisk. But hey, this is your man Jeff Thomas on the Jeff Thomas Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the show. If you like our podcast, follow our show page right here. We pushing, baby. We pushing. We pushing 4 days a week right now. So like our show page and follow and download. If you follow our show, if you press the follow button on this show page, if you're on Blog Talk Radio, you can press the follow. If you're on iTunes, you can press the subscribe. Give me a rating. You know, talk to me, man. Let me know what you think about the podcast. You know, you feel good about it? Tell me if you feel bad about it. You know, say what you feel. Give me the rating. That's how we do it. That's what we should do. We should feed on, feed people and tell them the things that they're doing right and they're doing wrong. You can also, we're on Spotify, we're on anywhere you can find your podcast, Google Play, you name it, man. We're everywhere with the Jeff Thomas Show. Again, on Facebook, link, follow us, like our page on Facebook, the Jeff Thomas Show. I am on IG. Those are the two that I really rock with the most, IG and Facebook. You can definitely download our podcast from off our shows and check the link in bio on Instagram if you want to get on with it. Now, Shaquille O'Neal. And let me tell you something, man. I'm disgusted by Shaquille O'Neal. For real. I'm disgusted by it. First of all, you're almost 50 years old, man. And you mean to tell me that you've never voted before? I'm finding that very, 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 very difficult to believe. You almost 50 years old and your ass just now voting. So that means in the last 2 elections, you didn't press the button for President Obama as a black man. Now, you people vote for who they want to, but you were sitting courtside and I thought this was funny in the little bubble. Is they had the little bubble video people could sit courtside on and see how it looks in the game or whatever. Shaquille sitting next to the president, former President Obama. Fool, you never voted. You out here supporting politicians, endorsing politicians, and campaigning for politicians, and your ass ain't vote. What kind of sense is that, man? I'm not making no excuse yet. I'm ripping him apart because he said it on his podcast last week and people are going to beat him up. I'm beating him up. That don't make no damn sense. First of all, you should be ashamed of yourself to even admit that. Certain things should keep your mouth closed. But you've been overly critical about different people and things that go on in this world. You was overly critical about Colin Kaepernick and his stance. See, when you don't vote, let me explain to people. When you don't vote, you give up your right to have an opinion about things that take place in this country. You lose that right. You can't say nothing. If you don't get your ass out and you don't vote, then guess what? You can't complain and say what's not right and what's wrong. what's wrong and what's right. You give that up. So, in my estimation, Shaquille O'Neal, he needs to, and I, you know, he tried to be, you know, it's conciliatory for himself and say, oh, I know people going to be mad. I voted for the first time. Man, you should be ashamed of your goddamn self. I don't want to hear from you. It's the same guy that said that the Breonna Taylor situation wasn't the same as Mike Brown and all that old kind of stuff. See, because I'm trying to think, what mindset is that coming from? If you don't vote, you don't know what's going on. I question everything that you say and do. I don't care how much money he has and how much stuff he's done working for all these different Papa John's, all the pizza, but I don't care about none of that. That means absolutely nothing. It's whatever you put value on. I put value on votes. That's important. That's what I put my value on. I don't care nothing about all that other stuff. But the fact that you're not voting, you running around here, you talking and preaching to kids, and you say you're not voting, is utterly ridiculous. And you haven't voted, is utterly ridiculous. What have you been doing? You've been floating through life, but you've been overly critical of people. Overly critical. Shaq, you should be ashamed, man. For real. There is no excuses for that. No excuse. It is vitally important that people get out and vote. If you're an athlete, and I've said this before, and I hope kids and parents understand this. Athletes are not role models. They're just athletes. Athletes' opinions on social issues and other issues should be heavily scrutinized like you scrutinize everybody else. There's no thing that says just because they be on television, just because they're on the radio or whatever that they're doing, that they're right. And that's what we should be quoting. We should be quoting troops on the ground, people that are out there working, people that are out there doing things, people who are in the workplace, people who have valid opinions. That's what I love so much about podcasting. You give everybody, and social media, and some people don't like social media, say social media is crazy and people have it. Yes, but it gives people an opinion and a view that would never been heard before, and you have an outlet to express yourself. And that's a great thing, regardless if you like it or dislike it. But for Shaq to be telling people and kids and HBCUs to come work for Papa John's and this, you know, promoting all kind of foolery, in my opinion, some of it. Not knocking all of it, but some of it. Brother, you got a lot to learn, man. Dude, you almost 50. You almost 50. You on television during the NBA season, you on commercials, general, all that stuff you're a part of. You should be more responsible. Because you always talk about your father, the military guy, and this, that, the third. But you ain't took the time to go vote. I wonder what he would say about that. I'm just curious. I'm curious as to what he would say about the fact that you haven't gone out and you haven't taken the time to go punch a ballot for anybody. And, it's just, you know, Shaq, of course, always on Fox News. So I don't vote for President Obama. I don't know if that's... Is that an even valid thing here? But people have to understand that. And speaking from an African-American perspective, we always talk about, you know, voting is your right and people die for that. No, people were murdered and killed for the right to vote. That's how important the vote is. People were killed, murdered for the right to vote. They didn't die. They were murdered. I have to reiterate that point because I have to let people know this is serious business right now. This is very, very serious. We're in election year, and whoever you decide to vote for, that's not my thing. But you should go vote. That's your civic duty in the United States of America, is to get out and vote. Don't take the path of least resistance. Get comfortable being uncomfortable. That's something that we have to learn how to do. get comfortable with being uncomfortable, because everything is not easy. If you understand anything, water likes to take the path of least resistance. If you understand that, water go through holes, seeps through holes. Don't just come crashing through concrete or wood. It takes the path of least resistance to get through. Well, we can't do that right now in this country. We have to stand up and we have to face things face to face and make it happen. Hey, man, this is your man, Jeff Thomas, and you tuned in to the Jeff Thomas Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. That just kind of really moved me a little bit, you know, and I'm not going to keep you long today because we got some stuff going on. Starting next week, we are going to go 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday. So make sure you tune in. On Monday, we have the JT Live Monday Morning Quarterback. And so on the Monday Morning Quarterback show, I give all views of things that happen in the NFL from before. This is our NFL show. So I did it some years ago and people asked me to bring it back. So I'm going to bring back the JT Live Monday Morning Quarterback show. So hopefully you all tune into that if you're into football. On Wednesday of next week, we have a panel discussion on issues facing African-American men. So make sure that you tune into that next week. It's a panelist of five African-American men. And so we're going to be discussing issues facing black men in America on Thursday. Thursday will be our relationship Thursday. So every Thursday is relationship Thursday. So you can get in, talk relationships, talk about things that's going on in your relationship that I could possibly help you with. And so we'll discuss that as well. And this Thursday coming up, of course, we got how to marry a black man and keep him. You know what? When I said that topic, man, people bit at it like crazy. They're like, oh, what are you talking? I got to tune in. I got to send me that link. The link I need to talk about. I need to make sure I'm on that podcast. It will come out. I want people, and it's not necessarily I'm put serious disclaimer out there ahead of time, but we want people to know how to stay married if you're married. And if you intend on getting married, we want you to get into the mind of the black man, because a lot of times, you know, women, y'all have y'all views, especially black women, when y'all talk about black men. And so getting married, you get married to them, but then you got to keep them. So we want to talk about ways that can happen. And so tune in this week, man. We gonna talk this Thursday. I'm ready for all the backlash that comes with that. But again, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, the Jeff Thomas Show, on all those different formats. I want to talk about football for a second, and I want to talk about Dak Prescott from Dallas Cowboys. Dak Prescott he's the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not really. I'm going to just be totally honest with you, man. I am not a Dallas Cowboy fan at all. I think they're the most overrated franchise in this modern day generation. For some reason, they want the Dallas Cowboys to win, and they've coined them America's team. And I know why they've done that. They have a huge, huge fan base across the country. So that's understandable. I get it. But God damn, man. Do we have to start off every show? Here you got Russell Wilson having an MVP season, and we talk about the Dallas Cowboys. Here you have Cam Newton. Of course, he's been out, but still playing ball lights out. We talking about the Dallas Cowboys. Patrick Mahomes throwing footballs behind his head and eyes closed. We talking about the Dallas Cowboys. Ridiculous. But I'm talking about the Cowboys today because Dak Prescott. And of course, he was in a contract dispute early on with the Dallas Cowboys. They couldn't come to any type of agreement on a long-term deal that would give him big cash payout money. I think Dak is looking anywhere between, you know, $35 and $40 million a year. Probably with about $70, $80 million guaranteed up front. So he decided to play under the franchise tag. this season. And so Dak was putting up some great numbers, actually. He was doing very well. Of course, he had a tragic death in his family. I think his brother passed away. And, you know, Dak was out. He was balling. Dallas is trash. I mean, they ain't won winning nothing. They won this week against the Giants. But the NFC East is trash. It's garbage. So, Dak, if you saw it, if you didn't see it, man, his ankle. And I've never seen anything like that before where his ankle was bulging out of his, ooh, it was out of his shoe. I mean, it was horrific. And so, he had to get carted off the field. So, instead of Dak holding out at the beginning of the year for more money, he ends up now, he's in a bind. Yeah, he's getting that $32, $33 million this year for that franchise tag that they slapped on him. But man, he bet on himself, and he's never been injured like that. Since he's been playing for the Dallas Cowboys, he hasn't been injured like that. So now what is Jerry Jones going to do? Because, see, Jerry Jones is always praised up on Tony Romo, who was trash. Hadn't done anything while he was in Dallas. He praised him, tore up his contract, gave him a brand new one. Set him up for life. Dak Prescott, not injured. Great season, playoffs. Took the Cowboys to the playoffs. But guess what? Dak ain't get that paper. He ain't get that paper. Dallas Cowboys waited him out. Dak should have held out. And I talked about this earlier in the year on a podcast that I had with my man Tank. He should have held out because of things like this when you get hurt. Now, next season, Dallas may walk away from him. They may walk away. Especially if Andy Dalton, who's a formidable backup for the Dallas Cowboys, plays well. Dak is gone. So what team? It's going to take him at least 4 to 6 months in order to get better. So what team is going to touch Dak? I'll wait. I mean, he probably get picked up, but he ain't going to get that cash. Next year, he was looking at $38 million. Even on the franchise tag, he was probably looking at that much. $38 million. Now, he's shook. And just like that, it's gone. But see, I have to go back. Dak was a loyal soldier when Dallas wasn't loyal to him. They were not loyal to him. I just have to go back a couple of years when the Colin Kaepernick situation first exploded. Dak had statements that, hey, listen, you know, we have no place for that in the game. And, you know, I'm a Dallas Cowboy. And I'm standing proud. And look at what happened. They didn't want to pay you the money that you wanted. They paid Romo his. And now you're done. That's the business. But see, when you got certain shade of skin, man, sometimes things happen a different way, bro. You should know that. And yes, your mother's Caucasian, but you got brown skin. Just remember that. And that had an effect on it. Some people might not like that. JT, that's not. Yes, it is right. Because tell me why Tony Romo got money and he didn't. Somebody please tell me. Please tell me how that is even possible. For an NFL quarterback. Man, I ain't trying to hear that. I ain't trying to hear it. This is what brothers better learn. You're out there balling. You better learn that you are a commodity. You are something that's bought and sold and traded away. Dak, get better, brother. But I think this is me personally, because Jerry Jones he's parted ways with a lot of the stars, black stars especially, guys he quote-unquote took care of. Emmitt Smith, he let go. And we know Emmitt Smith being statistically the best running back. Statistically. Dez Bryant, his son, who he loved. Dez. Cut him. I'm just saying. Dak, you next, bruh. You next. So, you know, I had to talk about Dak. I had to bring that up. I hate to do it, but I had to bring that up. Meanwhile, Russell Wilson's playing ball in Seattle. The man is playing lights out football. The black quarterback has emerged. His skill set, the NFL's caught up with his skill set, finally. And I've been telling people this for years. Quarterbacks, when you have defensive linemen who are 6'5", that run a 4.5, and you have a quarterback, okay, who's five, who runs a 5.2, 5.3 flat, and no mobility, how long you think he's going to be able to stand in that pocket? How long? Not long. Offensive linemen traditionally are not as lean and mean as defensive linemen or athletic. Larry Allen's probably one of the few that was very athletic. But you're talking about, if you got a chance to see the Bears versus the Patriots the other night, you saw what my man Khalil Mack did to the lineman. He flipped him over, just threw him out the way. So imagine you a quarterback, you can't move. So the Lamar Jacksons, the Patrick Mahomes, the Deshaun Watsons, the Russell Wilsons, the Kyler Murrays, those are the quarterbacks that you want. Those guys that can still see down the field and throw the football. Even a quarterback from San Diego, his name eludes me right now. Very elusive. We're talking about the white quarterbacks now. They're getting more, athletic. They are athletic. And so they have to move. So, you know, the game is the game. It's different now. And I'd said that years ago. Oh, he just a running. People would tell me, oh, he's just a running quarterback. He's a scrambler. He's not going to last long. Now, RG3 was stupid. He was trying to take on linemen and linebackers and defensive backs coming up to hit you. Fool, is you crazy? These guys trying to take your head off. And you out here trying to you trying to take linebackers head on. Boy, you lost your damn mind. So he didn't last long. But you got guys that's smarter now. They know how to slide. The Kyler Murrays, they know how to slide. It's different. Different ball game. So, hey. This is your man, Jeff Thomas, right here on the Jeff Thomas Show. I want to thank everybody for listening in to the show today. Make sure you check out our show this Thursday, How to Marry a Black Man and Keep Him, right here. 7 p.m. Central Standard Time is the time our podcast drops every Tuesday and Thursday. Starting next week, our time changes. We'll flip a little bit, but you'll still be able to download, go back, and listen in to our podcast. Again, follow the Jeff Thomas Show on Facebook and Instagram, as well as Twitter. Hey, you guys have a wonderful day. Be safe out here, man. And I'll definitely check y'all out this week. The Jeff Thomas Show, always on time.